Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out, like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios at the home of champions, Southern California. Lakers and Dodgers owning the landscape in Southern California sports, but certainly the Clippers trying to make a stake in that too. Yeah, we'll see. And the Rams obviously gave it their effort, and they're going to give it more of an effort with the trade they made over the last few days. They traded Matthew Stafford, giving away Jared Goff and a whole lot of first rounders and a mess. But we're going to talk about the here and now tonight. And that would be Super Bowl 55. Super Bowl 55 featuring a couple of really great teams. And they would be in two teams in the form of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So here it is, the Super Bowl preview. Right here. The Super Bowl preview at long last. Chiefs, Buccaneers, and to do this program, I'm pleased to bring to you all of our friends from the Football Pick shows. Let's start with our guy, John in Connecticut, here with the Super Bowl towel over his shoulder, getting us set for the moment. John, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well, Dave. Yeah, glad we're doing the show this week and not last week. I'm sure we'll talk about the championship games. Just a rough, rough Sunday for me that day. Yeah. But, yeah, no, good to be back. Glad to see everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. Winter was going well here, and then we just got about a foot of snow, and it was 10 degrees last week. So it's, 6 more weeks of this crap.
Did we have Groundhog Day already? I don't know when that is. I keep thinking.
No, honestly, it doesn't matter what that stupid ruin does. Does it really matter?
No, it really doesn't.
I mean, our winters have not been bad here recently, but this year we're getting paid back. That's for sure.
I got you. Ah, that's a bummer. All right, let's introduce Ron to the program as well. Ron, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, I'm just getting juiced up for this matchup. It's going to be a good matchup. Yep. I think it'll be fun. So, yeah, good to have you with us. And Andy?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Before I get to Andy, I wanted to check in on how your FanDuel scenarios were going. I didn't even look at our FanDuel thing tonight with the NBA. Who's doing that? Who's doing well in that one?
Not good, Dave. Not good.
No, not good. That's too bad.
No. Who did I start? I started Jeremy Lamb on the Pacers, and the Pacers ended up losing, but you know, it was something like 126-115. Jeremy Lamb scored 2 points. So I got a big 4.9,
dude,
from sucks. Him. So I don't think I'm going to be winning tonight. It's all good.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
You know what? It gets me into the NBA scenario. So, you know, I thank you for starting these because, you know, it's, you know, with football ending, it gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I've been getting into the games, you know. I've been watching a lot of the net games.
Oh yeah!
So it's been a fun ride so far.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's really cool. And you have had your moments in the sun as well with FanDuel and NBA too. And I think you will down the road too. You guys are good. So
thanks.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Now to Andy in Seattle. Welcome back to the program, Andy. How's the hype going around Seattle for the Super Bowl? What's new with you?
You know what? I haven't really talked to my buddies about football in a while. I'm actually just finishing reading a Wall Street Journal article sent to me by none other than LT. I kid you not.
No, seriously. Wow.
He sends me, God bless him, he sends me emails from his AOL.com address. And Andy, not at all taking sides here, but so much for the narrative of the little guy beating the big man. And I I'll finish the article, but God bless him. It's all in good fun, seriously. But he sent me an article about the GameStop stuff, and it's too long for me to actually concentrate and read it. But I haven't really thought about, like, the Super Bowl in terms of handicapping it until now. So it's funny, Dave, you mentioned, like, when I talk to my buddies around here, we haven't talked about the Super Bowl at all. It's really just been about college basketball and how much, like, life kind of sucks because we can't really do much because of COVID.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, we're this deep into it now, too. But the college basketball stuff is kind of interesting. Like, are you buying into the Iowa scenario? What do you think?
So I don't know if Get Your Own Show is still around, but, like, it's and John, anyone else that likes college basketball, Ron, and I think we all talk about it in March on the board when it comes around. But, like, I wouldn't be able to tell you much about, like, who are these, like, non powerhouse like schools. Like, is Drake gonna get in that large bid? I just know about Drake because they're like 19-0 and they, like, I think they covered almost every game except one game this weekend. Like, who is I guess Loyola's decent this year. I don't know if Sister Jean's still around, but I think Loyola and Drake play pretty soon. But, you know, some teams have only played like 10 games. Like, yeah. UMass is 6-4, and then there's some schools that have played almost 20 games. And my buddy texting about sport was like, some reason people or the metrics are in love with Penn State. Like, Penn State's 6-8. So I don't know how you are going to have like a cohesive 68 teams. I think it's 68 teams. I don't know. And then also it's not Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this year. It's like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Probably to, I don't know, to, because they're all playing in the state of Indiana. So I don't know why they scheduled it that way, but I won't mind that the second week around because it'll be good for like having games like on Monday and Tuesday. But that first week, 8 games on a Monday when we're all working will not be as fun as when it's like, oh, we love that last Sunday of the second round of the tournament when there's 8 games to chase all day.
Yeah. That's true. It's going to be different. I mean, there's nothing like the first 2 days too, or not maybe the second 2 days if you qualify the Dayton round as a round. But no, you're right. We'll get used to it though. So on we go. Let's look at last week's. I say last week. It's actually more than just a week. Last month's action, because we have the entire playoffs to recap. And John alluded to some of this, so I give it to him first for the playoff recap. The last time we were on the air, John and I were talking about entering the division round and what happened there. So we'll pick up from there. And John, what are your thoughts on the playoffs leading up to now?
Oh, well, let's just get right to it. The pain that is being a Packers fan watching NFC championship games, 4 in a row now that they've lost since they last made the Super Bowl in 2010. 2 of them in blowout fashion, and then the 2 in absolute, like, heartbreaking fashion. This one wasn't quite as bad as the Seattle one in 2014, just because that game was won. Like, there's no way the Packers should have lost that game in 2014. I don't want to rehash that game. We could go down a rabbit hole, but let's talk about Sunday. Like, obviously, I'm a Green Bay fan, but, like, I think objectively, anybody who watched that game on last Sunday would say that the Packers were the better team in the game. It's just literally everything that went wrong or could have gone wrong went wrong, and everything that they had been doing well all year, it just didn't happen. Davante Adams drops a pass in the end zone. Aaron Jones fumbles, directly leading to a Bucs touchdown. In the second half, early on in the game, Brady is just throwing it up for grabs to Chris Godwin, and the safety takes a wrong angle, and that leads to a touchdown. Like, literally every little thing just added up over the course of the game, and it was just a brutal loss. And then at the end of the game, LaFleur kicking the field goal, and you know what? I kind of get it, because after looking at it like from an analytics perspective, like, you're going to need one stop to win the game anyway. So he was betting on getting the field goal, getting a stop, and then having some time left to go down and score a touchdown to win the game. Because even if you score there and get the 2-point conversion. It's 31-31, and the Bucks are going to play differently in that situation than protecting a slight lead. So I kind of get it. Like, I personally would have gone for it. Like, you have the MVP of the league. Like, just try to get the touchdown and the 2-point conversion right there, and the Bucks be backed up. But I get the thought process after getting it, after reviewing it more. And then you have the penalty at the end of the game. Like, yeah, it was a penalty. He helped the guy. But they weren't calling that the entire game. Right. Like, on Rodgers' interception, I forget the corner's name. It's like a double hyphen name. He was holding, was like grabbing Lazard like that, and they didn't call it. And that obviously that led to the horrendous defensive coverage that was called at the end of the half. There's like four plays right there I just named that completely were huge momentum swings and went against the Packers. And even with all that, they still could have had a chance to win the game. Just a really blown opportunity. I mean, I think they were, I'm not going to say they're going to beat the Chiefs, but I still think they were the best team in the NFC, and they just, it was their worst game of the season at the worst time, and literally everything that could have gone wrong went wrong, unfortunately. And you know, you just have to wait until next year. And all this drama about Aaron Rodgers leaving, like, come on, like, he's not going anywhere. Like, who are they going to? They're going to start Tim Boyle at quarterback next year? Like, no way, it's not happening. It's not happening. So he'll be back. I imagine that maybe free agency, the team is so close to getting over the hump that they might want to join the Packers next year. I know they're not really a free agent kind of team, but you know, they can, you know, with the cap, they can make shit work. So obviously a very, very disappointing game, but you know, get over it. And you know, hopefully they can be back again in the same position in next season. You know, it's a long way to get to that point, but hopefully they can do it. But you know, as for the other playoff games, like, I don't know. I don't know what we want to go back to. I mean, the Chiefs they destroyed the Bills. It was kind of funny because we all talked about how the Chiefs haven't covered a game. And that was kind of one of the things, you know, the angles that we were tight at, a lot of people were touting for Buffalo, and Bills got off to a hot start. And then it just went off, you know, just got downhill from there. Honestly, I don't have much analysis on that game. I was still stewing and just really upset about the Green Bay game. But, you know, obviously the Chiefs ended up winning. The Chiefs really, they could have lost the Browns game, really, the week before. I mean, Chad Henne saved their ass at the end of the game. I mean, they really could have lost that. So I guess give credit to the Browns in that scenario. But that's all I have for now. I won't get into divisional week because really, who cares?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to the Browns, though, because they really did play the Chiefs.
For sure. No, they played a great game in that, and they really could have won.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, and as you mentioned, Chad Henne, you know, after Mahomes had the enter concussion protocol, I mean, that was a dramatic moment in the game. It really was. And but he saved the game with a first down run, of all things. Henne, who hadn't played an NFL game in like years, we're talking like maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years. It's just a crazy way for that game to end, but it was a great game. So the divisional round certainly lived up to the billing. Ron, let's get your thoughts on the playoffs this year leading up to now with the Super Bowl, the Bucks, and the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, John covered that Packers game brilliantly. I can only imagine, you know, the pain that must have been. But on the same hand, I would love to see my team just make it to a championship game. But, yeah, you know, that was he's 100% right. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Packers. Clearly, I thought they were the better team. The Bucks, I'll say this about them. You know, their defense is a lot better than people give them credit for, especially these playoffs. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, there's a bunch of times where he just didn't seem like he was settled because of the pass rush. Jason Pierre-Paul is, you know, who would have thought, you know, it'd be 2021 and we're talking about Jason Pierre-Paul being a difference maker, you know, on the defensive line, but he has been. And, you know, Devin White, the linebacker, is, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to be talking about him as the best, maybe the best defensive player in the league. He's out of this world. So they got pieces on defense, and I think that's really how they're winning these games. Like, sure, Tom Brady's making big time throws, and, you know, Leonard Fournette's come out of nowhere to, you know, kind of wrestle that job back because Ronald Jones got hurt, and he's done a good job. But it's that defense that's, you know, that's they've been opportunistic. You know, a couple big turnovers in that Packers game. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, one of the things I didn't expect to see this playoffs was the Bucs defense carrying them. But they certainly have. And the Chiefs, you know, it's been such a weird year for the Chiefs. I mean, they're so much better than every other team in the AFC. At least that's the way it seems. Like, they got caught off guard in that Browns game with the Mahomes injury. And, I mean, how do you replace Patrick Mahomes with Chad Henne and, you know, expect to win that game? It's a miracle that they held on and won that game. But, you know, they kind of, like, floated through the year, you know, played down to their competition. You know, like John said, when were they going to cover? When were they going to cover? And then they showed up against the Bills and just, you know, dominated. Which you know, I was kind of thinking the Bills were going to keep it close. So, you know, I was a little bit surprised at that. But you know, when they're on, I mean, you have, you know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. They don't need a running back. I mean, they really don't. But when you have Mahomes, Hill, and Kelce, I mean, it's the best trio of skill position players we've probably seen in the past 10, 15 years. So, you know, it's certainly a different matchup for the Super Bowl. I think it's a good matchup on paper. And I look forward to it to see if Brady could keep up with Mahomes.
It is going to – and I think – Ron, it's. I really think they're a live dog. It's just so interesting to me. So we'll get into that.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good defense. I've seen it throughout the year. And
and the one thing, you know, another big thing that, you know, I feel like a WFAN caller, here's something that nobody's talking about. Nobody's bringing this up. No, but the Chiefs lost their starting left tackle in that game against the Bills. He ruptured his Achilles or something like that. So, you know, Buccaneers pass rush, you know, very underrated. So, you know, we know Mahomes is all world, but, you know, if he's getting pressured all game long, does that alter the way the game goes? Who knows? I guess mm-hmm. we'll see.
Yeah. This is what's making me excited to watch the game too. I'll cover this in more detail in a little bit later in the program, but we go back to Andy, and let's get your thoughts on the playoffs up to this point. I mean, it was a good playoffs, and any other thoughts that you had as far as the previous couple rounds?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about these games, especially the Super Bowl, I'm not going to talk about X's and O's at all. It's just all going to be like the heart, the gut, previous games, whatever. So, like, yeah, Green Bay and Tampa, and I still think this is almost too soon for John, but like it was like you could either look like a fool by betting against Aaron Rodgers, like in his own building, win the cold. And I did not think the Tampa receiving core and their defense was going to be ready for the cold. It's just something. You know, I don't have any statistical data in front of me, but I'm just like, South team from Florida, like, I don't think they traditionally are going to do well in a cold building, even though it looked warmer than it probably was. It almost looked too warm. There was too much sun on Lambeau Field that day. I wanted it to be, like, snowy and cloudy, but it wasn't. So you could look like a jackass when you bet against Aaron Rodgers. Like, a lot of people thought the Titans were going to be the play that Sunday night game, you know, last month, and then Aaron Rodgers just made them look like a fool. But then also, it's like, you look like a fool when you bet against Tom Brady sometimes. And, you know, our friend Tommy was like, I can't wait to bet against Brady in the playoffs because he thought the Giants were going to play them. And guys like him and, you know, all the Giant fans, like, we have the blueprint to beat Tom. I'm like, Tommy, you still waiting to bet against Tom Brady? Did you bet against Tom Brady against Green Bay like me? And he's like, yeah. And so, to borrow Mike Francesa's tweet, I think Green Bay, they lost it. You know, that mental gaffe before halftime, the big touchdown. But like John said, I think there was pass interference on the interception. But even prior to that, I thought they were being a little too cute with the with the game clock. It's like first half's almost over. They're taking a lot of time. Even in the second half, I thought Rodgers was really milking the play clock. I don't know. Maybe that was their strategy to shorten the game, but they were trying to come back. Anyway, mental gaffe before halftime. The first drive in the third quarter on that third down dunk play, you know, the check down pass where they fumbled and gave Tampa the ball, like, deep in Green Bay's territory, that hurt them a lot too. And then obviously the questionable decision to kick the field goal. But the end of the first half and the start of the second half, as a Green Bay better, as we all watched, like, I was expecting Green Bay to, you know, it was like the double-double. They're going to score to end the first half, and then they're going to score to start the second half. It should have, you know, we all saw the game, like, that should have happened, and it didn't. The fact that they didn't score, I think they only got 6 points off the turnovers that Tampa Bay had in the second half, that was very uncharacteristic of them. And then, as Ron mentioned, I was shocked as well at the amount of pass rush they were able to apply. Like, you're not used to seeing Rodgers, like, take sacks. And the Tampa Bay pass rush was very ferocious. And, yeah, I'm a Tom Brady mongo. He didn't play well in the second half. You know, especially one of those picks was definitely his fault. So one of the picks was, you know, off the fingertips. But he, you know, he played a pretty good first half, but his second half wasn't, I would say, was pretty pedestrian. That game was there for the taking. So, you know, it just, that's a crazy game. I lost a fortune on the Packers. And then I took the Chiefs in the second game. Why? Because everyone was playing the Bills as this live dog, and the Barstool community was all in on Bills Mafia. I'm like, there's no way Barstool, they're not going to be right, like, on this game. There's no way. And if I lose two games a lot, that so be it. But I'm just going heavy on Green Bay. I went heavy on Green Bay, so I got to go heavy on the Chiefs to recoup my losses. I was not going to take the Bills. And I know the Chiefs had that streak where they could not cover a game if their life depended on it. And it did not look good from the start, right? Like, right. The field goal and then the muff. Suddenly they're down 9-0. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? And then Green Bay went – or I keep saying Green Bay. The Chiefs went on like a 31-6 run. And then the Bills scored the last 9. I think Nance, only way he can do it was like in between like – the Bills scoring 9 in the beginning and the 9 at the end, like the Chiefs went on a little 38-6 run. I'm like, yeah, because they basically dominated the game except for the beginning. And I guess you have to say the Bills, I think the Bills at that point of the season, yeah, were kind of playing with house money. Like the Chiefs were definitely in another league than the Bills. I think the future is very bright for Buffalo. But I don't think they were ready to win that game on that stage, even with that great start, because Hill and Kelce are arguably impossible to cover, especially like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. Like, they can convert that with their eyes closed more times than not. They're so dangerous. And when they're firing and when Mahomes has time, his turf toe didn't seem to bother him. His turf toe didn't seem like it was a factor a couple weeks ago. They were clicking on all cylinders. So moving forward, as we, you know, talk about the Super Bowl, it'll be interesting. I'm just glad KC did their job, because I was really hurting on that Sunday for a while.
Yeah. Good spot. And you'd hate to, you know, that could be really, I've been on that end of it too. So it's like, it's not fun. And I'm glad you got a little salvage there with Kansas City. You know, you have a point, because it really did seem like everybody was talking up the Bills near the end of the, right, going up to kickoff. And it really, I had the Bills plus, I think I did have the Bills plus 10, but I believe like right before kickoff, I changed it, because I was like, this is like, this is just outrageous. It's like, this team doesn't even have that much experience. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But here's the funny thing about that. Have you guys noticed that the Chiefs fall behind in like literally every playoff game they play? And then they come back and then they just roar back and then end up winning. It's so interesting how many times they fall behind. And I think it's going to be something we got to watch for when we get to the Super Bowl. So let's take a look at that now. The matchup itself, the Chiefs, who had the one seed, had home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs. The Bucs, who were a wild card team, did not get a home game in the regular playoffs. But theoretically, this is a home game for them here because they're in their home stadium of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. The game will be at 6:30 p.m. as it normally is on CBS Sunday, February 7th. The Chiefs are favored by 3 points, but this could change. It has been sitting at 3 for a while, but there's a lot of public juice on the Chiefs, so something I'm taking a very careful eye on. The over-under as of this morning was 56 points, but I understand it went down to 55.5. And the Bucks are the first franchise, as we talked about, to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium. Players or teams have played in their home area, like the 49ers at the Stanford Stadium near San Francisco, and the Rams played the Rose Bowl 1 year, 1979 season, against the Steelers, but their home stadium was a Coliseum at the time. So that's a scenario for this Super Bowl matchup, a good matchup. And we go back to John. Let's get your thoughts about this matchup and what you see between these two teams.
To be honest, Dave, I thought too much about this, the X's and O's part of it. I mean, at the Andy's right, it's too soon here. It's like there's still a lot of PTSD with the Green Bay game. Like, obviously, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, and I'm going to make a bet. But, like, I haven't really thought too much in depth about this game. You know, if we want to look at the first matchup as, like, kind of a baseline between these two teams, because they did play earlier in the season, and the KC receivers just torched them. And, like, Tyreek Hill had, what, like 200 yards in the first quarter? Like, he completely burnt that guy Bunting that did the holding on Lazard on the Rodgers interception. He got torched the entire half. So they clearly need to do something different in terms of the coverage. Now, I, you know, say what you will about like Bruce Arians, I don't think he's like the, you know, he's more of a motivator than a coach, like an X's and O's coach, in my opinion. And Brady's pretty much coaching that offense. I think we can all agree on that, but I do think Todd Bowles is an underrated defensive coordinator. And I think that, you know, he'll have to mix up his coverages and pressures and whatnot. And they did do a good job on in the championship game. I mean, they had like 3 or 4 sacks. I mean, it's weird. Like the Packers only had a few games all year where Rodgers was under pressure, and it was both games against Tampa. And strangely enough, that Carolina game on that Saturday night, somehow they got 5 sacks against Rodgers. But in any event, you know, they definitely can get some pressure with their defensive line. So, you know, that will be the key. Because if they can kind of – I don't want to say Mahomes gets rattled. Like, I don't know. I really haven't seen that from him in really any scenario. Like, you know, he's had some off games, but there's not like a game where he's just like gets sacked 9 times or 8 times and is just, you know, seeing ghosts essentially. And so – you know, and then again, if you take away that deep pass to Hill, you know, well, there's Travis Kelce in the middle. Like, how are you going to defend him? I just don't see how you stop the Chiefs offense. So they're going to get their points. The key to the game is going to be, you know, can the Bucs kind of slow the game down to a tempo where, you know, they're going to keep Mahomes off the field. And the Bucs, see, the problem with the Bucs is Arians has the same kind of offense. Like, they just want to throw it deep all the time. Like, they're not a dink and dunk kind of offense. And they really don't run the ball that well. I mean, they have the backs to do it. I mean, Fournette is good. Ronald Jones is good. So, you know, and so they're going to be able to maybe establish a running game more so than Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City really can't run the ball. And Tampa Bay is great at stopping the run, too. So, really, you know, KC's going to try to pass, and Tampa is, I think, is going to try to be more balanced. But like I said, just the matchups from the first game, it just, you know, I you know, we'll see if Bowles can make some kind of adjustment or get some pressure, or else, you know, you don't see how this is going to turn out differently. I mean, I think it'll be close. You never bet against Brady in a spot like this. Even the other day, like let's just call it what it is. Like, every like little break or little thing that needs to go their way or his way, like he's got like a horseshoe up his ass in the playoffs. Like essentially that's what it comes down to. And so I don't know, maybe there'll be a fumble on a punt return. Maybe there'll be a safety. Maybe who knows what it'll be like. He'll get some kind of, the Bucs will get some kind of good luck to stay in this game. So I'm not going to say it's a blowout, but on paper, you have to like the Chiefs to prevail in this matchup, in my opinion anyway.
Well, they've done it a few times now. They won the Super Bowl last year against the Niners, and it was a close game, and then Mahomes took over in the fourth quarter. Like, he really just, it was Mahomes time, and then Kelsey time, and then Tyreek time, too. It was just, it's really brilliant to see it when it's on its game. And you're right. I think it's going to be tough to evaluate how the defense can tweak it itself to improve upon that scenario. When you blitz, you typically have man coverage downfield and going to Ron. Ron, you know Todd Bowles very well. He coached the Jets for a lot of years.
Unfortunately.
But what can he do to tweak the defense to make themselves more competitive in this game?
Yeah, I mean, and John's right. Todd Bowles is a really good defensive coordinator. Obviously, didn't work out as a head coach first time, but I hope he gets a second shot somewhere because he is really, really good at being a defensive coordinator. And I think, I don't know, I have no proof or no stats to back me up, but it always seems like in the NFL, especially, you know, teams from the different conferences, when they play a second time throughout the year, it never really seems to go the way that the first game went, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just when I think of
Ron, there's a good example, that very recent example, Super Bowl 53, when the Patriots played the Rams, went very different regular season.
Oh, right.
Versus...
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, I think Tampa Bay has the coaching staff, and you have to give them credit. You know, Bruce Arians is a really good coach. Bowles is a good defensive coordinator. I do think that they have the ability to take what went wrong the first time that they played the Chiefs and correct it. And I think you'll be seeing a lot more zone coverage on Tyreek Hill. So he doesn't torch them again. I'd be very surprised if he ends up with 200 yards in the first half again. I think you're going to be seeing more Devin White one-on-one with Kelsey. I think they're going to double team Hill. They're going to try to take Hill out of the equation, and they're going to try to keep White one-on-one with Kelsey and take their chances with Mahomes and the other receivers. But we all know that Mahomes is good enough to exploit that. And who knows, maybe we'll see a big game from DeMarcus Robinson. The Chiefs are down to their third string running back, but I mean, they're all good enough to mix in there and make a play. So I'm with John. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And I could never count out Tom Brady. He has that magical, you know, quality about him, but I do give the edge to the Chiefs because when you think about it, I mean, this is the exact same team, the exact same coaching staff that they've had for 2 years now. And they just, you know, they're back to back in Super Bowls. They should be used to this. They should be, you know, Andy Reid should have a game plan, you know, in place, and they should be, you know, well-versed on it and ready to execute. And when you have that much talent, you know, like the Chiefs have, and you have, you know, that game plan that's right there to, you know, they're used to it. They know how to run it. I can't bet against them in a big spot. So I do believe Brady will keep it close. I think the Bucs have some juice with the defense, but I can't see betting against the Chiefs.
It's a very compelling argument both ways, isn't it? This is tough. And I need to funhouse myself that the Patriots did not play the Eagles in the Rams in the 2019 regular season, or whatever, the 2018 regular season. Big old funhouse. Sorry.
And let me go back to you know, I think Andy made a great point before when he was talking about the Packers game, the Packers and the Bucks. And this is something that like boggles my mind all the time. And again, I feel like a WFAN caller, you know, why do they do this? But Aaron Rodgers, you know, every single play, he runs the play clock down to zero. Mm-hmm. And I understand why he does it. I've seen him on the Pat McAfee show, and he talks about it and how he's reading the defense and exploiting who he's, you know, picking who he's going to exploit and everything like that. But when you're in a situation where the Bucs are getting a consistent pass rush on you, I mean, to me, sitting at home, doesn't that give them almost like free reign? Like, you know, the play clock is going down at zero and you can rush them. So there's no element of surprise. There's no, you know, a quick snap, nothing like that. He just milked it every single time to zero, and the Bucs were consistently getting to him. Yeah. To me, I don't know if that made a difference or not, but when Andy brought that up, you know, I like a light bulb popped off in my head, and I think to myself, like, I never think of Pat Mahomes, you know, running the play clock down to zero. It's always, you know, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. Maybe that was a reason why the Buccaneers got such a consistent pass rush on Rodgers, and maybe that, you know, played into the way that game ended up. But I don't know. That's just my Mongo thoughts.
That's a very interesting observation.
I'll jump in here, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So no, he does that all, like, that's their thing. Like, people think of the Packers as like a fast tempo, like, offense. Like, no, they're not. Like, they're explosive. They're an explosive offense. They get plays in big chunks, but they bring the play clock down to almost zero every single play. The only times they don't do it is if they're in like a 2-minute drill. And Andy brought it up, like, at the end of the half, they get the big pass over the middle for the first down, and they're slow playing,
right?
Like, trying to I guess I could kind of see it doing it one time, because you don't want to give Brady the ball back there. Ultimately, they did with the interception, but you don't want to give him the ball back. So I can kind of see it, like, slow playing it once. And once I got that first down, they should have been right up to the line of scrimmage and going fast and trying to get down the field. So that definitely was a mistake, in my opinion. But he does that all the time with the play clock, and you're absolutely right. It gives the pass rush a huge advantage, because you know they're going to snap it like one or zero, and they're going to jump off the line and – and get a rush on him. And so I think that was huge in this game. And also, I think this was the first game that they felt the loss of Bakhtiari. He allowed like one sack all year, and they didn't do a good job against the edge rushers. And and LaFleur didn't really double team the edge either, so he could have done that. But usually they just throw Bakhtiari out there, and you know, you call it a day. That no one's touching Rodgers. So this was the first game since he got injured that was really, a factor. But definitely a good point there about the play clock and what he does.
One last question, John. I mean, on the coaching staff, are you relieved to see Patton gone? Because his calling was terrible.
Oh my God!
another Jets guy.
I still don't understand what coverage. What are you doing? Like, sitting at home, I'm gonna say half drunk, but like, you know, with some alcohol on you and just watching the game, the Bucs have no timeouts. There's 14 seconds left. What play are they gonna call that's really gonna hurt you other than a deep pass? Give them 15 yards. Who cares? They're gonna get 15 yards and kick a field goal. 17. I was sitting here saying, give them a field goal. I don't care. 17-10 at the half is fine. Just do not allow a touchdown. And I see Scotty Miller streaking behind Kevin King in single coverage. Put seven guys back on the goal line. How do you allow that to happen? They can't use the middle of the field because they have no timeouts. Even like a 15-yard out is just going to give them a field goal attempt. That was just such a back-breaking play. Like, back-to-back, you had that play and then the Jones fumble on the first possession of the half. And even with all that, the Packers still could have won. I don't know. It's going to be a long offseason just replaying that game in my mind, because it was just bad. So
yeah.
Thank God he's gone, honestly.
Right.
And I saw they're looking into Jim Leonard from Wisconsin. Like, I would be okay with that. Like, you know, we'll see about college coaches going from the NFL from college to the NFL, but their defenses were always just stout. And, I'd give them a shot. Like, I would rather see that than, you know, like fucking Mike Smith or someone like some retread like that. Like, do not want someone like that. Like, give me someone young and upcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Very well said, John. Let's go back to the Super Bowl matchup. And Andy, let's get your thoughts on the two teams.
Yeah, I was just daydreaming about Mongo's with the play clock. Because, like, the opposite of that is when, like, in college, you see it all the time. Like, teams milking leads, like, running plays with, like, 15 seconds left in the clock, like, halfway through the fourth quarter. It's like, you do that three times, like, that's a minute that you could have killed that you don't. And trying to think, you know, Mike Leach, we're talking about you. Spencer Rattler, we're talking about you. Just, like, it's just, you know, it's not rocket science. But anyway, miss college sports, college football. But the game this Sunday, when John was talking about Brady and the running game, it made me think of, like, and the fact that Arians maybe not be the X's and O's guy, but just kind of like the ooga booga rah rah guy, and, you know, let Todd Bowles do his thing. And I Brady being Brady, he's an odd duck, but I guess he was saying how he's the only one living in his house right now. I don't, his kids and wife are somewhere else, so he's like, this is, like, the most alone time I've ever had to, like, prep for a game. And so I don't know what he's going to think, but I would subscribe and prescribe a lot of Leonard Fournette. And I don't know what is Ronald Jones still gimpy? Do you guys know?
Let me check.
I don't think so.
I think he's just ineffective, to be honest.
Yeah, give it to playoff Lenny. Heavy doses of Leonard Fournette. You know, because that used to be the recipe that New England used to cook with, especially in the early days of Brady's career. It was a premium and emphasis on defense and just a heavy, heavy-duty running game. Antoine Smith, Corey Dillon, all those guys back in the day. Brady was definitely a game manager then, you know, in the early 2000s, pre-Randy Moss. And so, you know, to beat Kansas City, well, how are you going to slice this cat? You try to win 42-35? That's dicey. You're going to try to shorten the game and win 60. I mean, that doesn't always work either. I know, like, Vic Fangio tries to do that twice a year. But the Broncos play the Chiefs really well. They hold them in check defensively, but their offense is from hunger. Tampa, I would, you know, if I could be a fly in the room that could talk in Tampa, I'd be like, try to emulate what the Broncos do defensively, and you guys have got more firepower on offense than the Broncos, and try to, you know, try to get Kansas City uncomfortable, whether that's taking advantage and getting a lucky turnover. You know how the football bounces in these crazy games. Footballs are shaped weird, you know, and you know, just look at that Brown Chiefs game with the fumble in the end zone. And we could talk about, I don't think the rules should be changed. You got to respect and protect the pigskin. And if you don't protect it in that spot, then tough cookie, you know, touchback, other team gets the ball. And then since it is the Super Bowl, like, I don't really remember the beginning of the San Francisco Kansas City game, Sergio Dip style, but there's always, even though there won't be the, you know, 25% capacity, so you know how there's this thing where, like, if you're gonna, you know, take an over, beware of the, you know, the first quarter, because everyone's on edge, it's nerves, it's adrenaline. So, you know, teams might be a little sloppy or rusty or airmail and throws out of the gate because they're so hyped up to get this game going. So, although I wouldn't really expect it from either quarterbacks because they're pretty mature about their ways. But, you know, I would expect, you know, Tampa would be well advised to get a good start and, you know, ground and pound and play action. And like you guys said, they run a lot of, you know, deep passes, even though, you know, Brady's arm at this day and age, like, yeah, it's strong, but you know, the accuracy is not there. It's not what it used to be. And his last 2 years in New England, he was very much dink and dunk. And it's funny. So maybe they'll save like a crazy Gronk play. If I'm not mistaken, you know, Gronk didn't really do much in that Green Bay game until they pulled it out of the bag late. You know, they held on to it. And it was like a pretty big play, if I'm not mistaken. So I suspect they'll try to do that with the Chiefs. As we all know, the Chiefs defense is kind of a liability. That was kind of like the running, you know, if they were to have an Achilles heel or a weakness, it would be you can run the ball on them, you can move the chains against them, but, you know, it's hard to stop Kansas City. So, you know, Todd Bowles is going to have his, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. I personally have a 3.5 line. I also have the Chiefs to win it all. A very short odds. I think we talked about that on the board last week. It's +155. So I might just put $100 on Tampa getting 3.5. And if it's a crazy, you know, if Kansas City wins by 3, then you win both. That's probably not going to happen, but I might just do that and then maybe sprinkle in some props and maybe, you know, do some live bets. I don't think I'm going to like a Super Bowl party this year or anything. I don't really do the pools. I don't know if Tommy's doing a pool. He usually like sends me a million texts about it, but I don't really like the pools either. So I'll probably try to do some props and bet some live bets. And, you know, I'll be rooting for Brady, you know, because he doesn't have a lot of years left. And I think Mahomes is going to have plenty future appearances in the Super Bowl. I hope it's a close game. On paper, it should be a good game. You know, Nance, Romo, weekend, like it, all the ingredients are there for an entertaining game. And we just hope that it lives up to it, which is, you know, it's hard for games of these, you know, matchups to actually live up to the hype. So we'll see. We had a really good game last year too, if I remember correctly.
We did. Yeah. I mean, it said the score was 31-20, but that was not at the end. Like, it was a really close game for most of it, and the Chiefs pulled it out at the very end. But it was a really entertaining game. So let me just get a quick score prediction from you, Andy, and then we'll go down the line.
Score prediction. You know, I'm just going to guess. Over-under, I think, last time I checked, was like 57, 58, but I'm going to say I'll be kind of square. Give me 31-27 Tampa.
Oh, Tampa Bay. Wow.
Yeah. Why not?
Nice. Live once. I like it. Okay. Now, let's go to John. Let's get your prediction for the game.
I'll do the square pick. We'll go 30-24 Chiefs.
Okay. Ron, let's get your score prediction.
Yeah, I'll say 27-23 Chiefs. Hits
that
the
feels
under.
Very yeah. That has a real feel. That has a real feel because it's kind of similar to the regular season game, except fewer points. That's cool. All right, let me give you mine. Mine is going to be 31-24 in favor of the Bucks. I'm going to go with Andy's side. I'm going to take Andy's side too. I just feel like it's a live dog. A lot of people are in Kansas City. I feel like there's a real chance. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting spot because this is literally the first time, I think, in his entire career, I'm actually rooting for Brady. It's just weird. It's a strange place to be. But, I mean, hey, why not? You know what I mean? This is 10th Super Bowl. I think it'd be a good – I think it would be very, very – it'd be quite a story if you got it done. So any remaining thoughts in terms of the game, and then we'll go to – well, actually, we'll do that later. We'll do the bonus props first. So, bonus props, guys. Let's do it. So, bonus prop bets for this Super Bowl. I compiled a few extra bonus ones, and you guys can nominate some as well. Andy teased some of the props himself. So, we can start with, let's see. How about this one? Okay, so I have a prop that says, first team to use a coach's challenge. All right, so Andy, is that on your prop sheet? Are you going to go with that one?
I was just looking at, like, you know, Leonard Fournette's, like, total receptions and, like, total yard, like, just a traditional prop, but I can get into this too, because I was looking for a Scotty Miller prop and my site doesn't have any, but because I think he's always good for at least a catch or two. But first team to use a coach's challenge, shit. I'd lean Tampa.
Okay.
Arians is, I think he's like, he's more of a reactor than Reed, if you ask me.
Right. Yeah, I see that. Okay, Ron, what do you say?
Yeah, I say Tampa. I think, Andy Reed is conservative with his challenges. I see Arians, you know, more susceptible to that.
Yep. All right, John?
Yeah, I'll make it 3 for 3. I think Reed's more cerebral. I think Arians might just fling it because a player tells him to do it, and they, you know, even though it might not work out. So I definitely think he's the one to throw the challenge flag first.
I'm with you, all of you guys. I'm going to go with the Bucks as well. Absolutely. So that's the first one. Next, longest touchdown in the game in yards. Over under is 46.5. 46.5, guys. So Andy, let's go to you. What do you think?
I'm a weirdo with this. I think I actually bet this a couple years ago in the LA Patriots one. I think I did the under, but I think this one I'll do the over. I think it'll be a long touchdown in this one.
All right. Yeah, I mean, both quarterbacks are equipped for these kind of plays. So, Ron, let's go to you.
Yeah, I could definitely – I'll take the over. I could definitely see Hardman or somebody like that getting a punt return or something big. Yeah, they too much offense for both teams.
Yeah, yeah. All right, John?
Yep, I agree. I think we're 3 for 3 here. I think you could easily see, like, Hill catching, like, a 50-yarder or – like Evans like going up just for a jump ball or Godwin. So yeah, definitely. I would say over for this.
We're 4 for 4. I'm going to go with the over too. Absolutely. A lot of talent on both sides. All right. Next, total sacks by both teams. The over under is 4.5 and the under is a slight favorite. So back to Andy.
Geez. I feel like Brady has, I don't know much about that Kansas City pass rush, so I'll take under. Okay. I'm going to take under.
All right, Ron?
I'll go with the over on this one. A couple from the Chiefs, a couple from the Bucks. You figure 5 gets the over. I'll take the over.
All right, John?
Yeah, I agree. I think 5 is a good number. I think the Bucks can get 3. And then, you know, Brady is not really – a mobile quarterback, even under like the slightest bit of pressure, he'll kind of just fall down, whereas like other quarterbacks might be able to get out of it. So I think you could get just 2 with that or 2 or 3 with that. So I'll say over for this one.
I think you have it around 4, so I'm gonna go under, but it's gonna be like 4 on the nose. So okay, now for the next prop, which is defensive or special teams touchdown, so safety or kickoff return. And you know the Bucks are really bad with bad defending kickoff returns. So let's go to Andy and let's get your thoughts. Yes, it's +200. No, it's -250. Andy, what's your play?
I say no. Do you know there's – I think who's the guy? Darren Rovell. He tweeted some guy bet $10,000 that the opening kickoff will not – get return for a touchdown, and the return on the investment that is $200. It's like, why do you do that? You just do that just to kind of like swing your dick. You're like, I got $10,000 to like kiss away if this does get returned for a touchdown. Like, it's probably gonna be a touchback.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I'll say no too. I mean that's a tough one, but I'll say no.
All right, John.
Yeah, it's hard to predict. Like, those are always like we talk about randomness in games, and those are just always like random. So I don't think that's a thing you can predict. So the default answer for this would be no, unless like you have like the 85 Bears or you know the 2000 Ravens or just teams that make a living on returning like interceptions for touchdowns. Neither of these teams do that. So I'm going to say.
Well, the only thing I'd add to that is that it did say defense or special teams. So I guess a pick six qualifies. So I will say yes on the principle that there could be a pick six. But honestly, I think there's a reason. I mean, Noah's minus 250, so it's not like those are. It's a pretty good choice. But I'll be a little contrarian. I'll go with yes.
I was going to. Oh, that makes. Who is the Mongo on Kansas City that muffed the punt for Buffalo? And then there was another game like maybe a month ago, and I was sweating.
The Saints. It was against the Saints. They muffed the punt.
Yes. I had the first. So Tampa could take advantage of that, perhaps. Like, unless that guy like doesn't learn to be smart. Be smart.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so next we have the longest made field goal. The over-under this year is 47.5. Andy, what do you say?
I'll go over.
All right, Ron?
Yeah, I'll take the over on that one too.
Okay, John?
Oh, man. I'm going to say under. I think these teams are going to get close enough to the red zone. The Chiefs kind of – they've been known to – I don't know. I just feel like there's not going to be that many stalled drives like around the 35-yard line. And then plus with these two offenses, I feel like both of these coaches are more likely to go for it than kick a 50-yard field goal. So I'm going to say under.
I just don't think there are going to be that many field goals, right? And as John pointed out, it's going to be a subtle situation. So I'm going to say under, but that number's perfect. It's right there. Okay, next. Whether it be a missed extra point kick, this has already happened in the playoffs, and it happened once with Butker at least for the Chiefs. The yes is plus 210, no is minus 265. Andy, which way are you going?
I'll take yes with the plus 210.
Yeah. All right, Ron?
I'll say no. I don't think weather or anything will be a factor there.
Okay, John?
I don't think it'll happen, but I think yes at 210 is good value because Butker's missed a bunch this year. So I think I'm not going to predict it's going to happen, but like it's a good value bet if you want to throw some props in there. So I would just say for betting it, yes, it's a good value.
It is really good value. I think I'm going to ride it as well. So I'm going to go yes, but realistically it's probably not going to happen, but why not? You know, you're in the collection of bets, could be very interesting. Next, largest lead of the game, the over-under is 14.5 points. Will either team lead by 15 or more points? Andy, what do you think?
My heart, I say no.
Okay.
For selfish reasons, I say no.
All right. Ron?
Yeah, I'm going to say no, too.
All right, John?
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to say no. I think the biggest lead you'll get here is like 10 to 14. And it'd be like early in the game. Like you said, the Chiefs could come out slow. I don't think it's going to get over that. So I would say no.
I'm with you. No for me as well. And two to go. Total punts by both teams is six over under 6.5. This is tough. I don't know. I mean, you would think no, but Andy, what do you say?
I'm going to say under.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. All right, Ron?
Yeah, I'll say the same. I'll say under.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I'll say under. Say three punts for each team, so that half is key.
I'm with you guys. They're going to be going for touchdowns a lot, so I'm going under too. And one more. Total yards combined by both teams, and these numbers get really high, but I feel like it's for a reason. The number this year is 790.5 yards, 790.5. Andy, do you see that going over or under both teams?
790. I'm going to say under just because you could see like both teams feeling each other out in the first quarter.
Okay.
I'll say under.
All right. Ron?
Yeah, I'm going to say under. I mean, I can't wrap my head around 790 yards. So I'll go by default, I'll say under.
All right. John?
Yeah, so that's like, what, 395 a team, if my math is right. So, you know, you, it could be like 380 and 350 and you're still under this. So yeah, definitely.
The way this game plays out, I'm probably going to go under. I can see over, but I just feel like there's going to, like you guys were talking about, the first quarter is going to be slower than the rest. And I see that happening. So before we go, Andy, do you have any other props that you thought were interesting for the prop board?
Yeah, I was looking them up on the site here, and just, I mean, they're all square. I love and hate them because they provide me with the level of anxiety that I don't really like. But if you hit them early, it's just like, now what do I do? I just won this bet. And then if you don't have, if it doesn't hit, then you're just like, you just like, you got sweaty palms all night, but, or you're just like, this is not going to happen. Like, they're not on pace. But I do, if I did have to like focus and take some bets, it would be like the Fournette total rush attempts on my site is over 11.5 -120. I would probably take the over there. His rush yards is 49.5 -120 on the over. I'd probably do that. And then his receiving and rushing yards combined is 75.5 over -120. I'd probably do that. And then you do that, and then he twists an ankle in the first quarter, and then it goes all up in smoke. But I don't know. I like that. I think a key for the Bucks to win is you're going to have a real productive game out of Fournette. Like, I don't think I'll take any of, like, the Mahomes or the Brady props. And I might touch a Chris Goodwin prop. His Goodwin long – his longest catch over or under 24.5 yards, kind of like the over there. And then the Gronkowski long reception of 15.5 yards, I would probably take that. See, just looking at this for 30 seconds, now I'm in love with all these props. So.
It's so inevitable. Oh, yeah. John, how about you? Anything that stuck out to you as far as props?
Honestly, I haven't really looked at it too closely. I was just trying to find the like the cross sport props. Those are always fun. Like, I was trying to find something to compare, like the something to do with the Phoenix Open compared to like something with the football game, and I couldn't find anything on my site. Not to say that they don't exist, because I'm sure there's some out there that have some crazy, like,
yeah,
you know, John Rahm's second round score versus Leonard Fournette's receiving yards or something, or rushing or total yards or something like that. So I'm going to try to look for something fun like that. But I did see one. What will happen to the price of Bitcoin during the game? I'm surprised they didn't change that. What will happen to the price of GameStop during the game? I'm surprised that one's not on there. But yeah, no, I don't got anything else for you. If I find those cross sport ones, I might get into that. Like I said, it's going to be a somber Super Bowl just trying to watch this for me. So I think I'll just have a small bet on the Chiefs, and, you know, I'll do the squares too. I haven't got my numbers yet, but I'll be in with.
Cool. Well, good luck on that, John. Certainly. I mean, squares are fun. I mean, a lot of luck involved, I'm sure, but it's still fun, and it's always great when you hit them. So, guys, let's give it to you guys for final thoughts, and we will start with Ron. Ron, your final thoughts on this game? As we said, a lot of drama, good storylines. What are you thinking before we close it up tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely hard to get a good read on the game, which I guess is a good thing, right? Because you know, you don't have like that expectation of one team blowing out another. So I mean, to me, that's always you know, a plus when you go into a Super Bowl. So I look forward to it. You know, I'll be rooting for the Chiefs for my brother. You know, but you know, they won it last year, so I won't be sad if they lose. And I, you know, I'm probably one of the only Jet fans who doesn't hate Tom Brady. You know, I can recognize how good and dominant of a player that he was. So, you know, to see him win in Tampa Bay, to me, wouldn't be the worst thing. So I just look forward. I just hope it's a good game, and I could at least get to the third or fourth quarter with a close game, and that'll be good enough for me.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm with you on all that. I mean, I am gonna root for Brady and the Bucks because I think that'd be quite an upset. I mean, it would suck for Vegas. They were breaking that down like a month ago. They said that this would be the worst case scenario for Vegas. They're gonna lose a lot of money if they win the Super Bowl, but I'm not worried about that. I think it'll be really a lot of fun. Let's go to John. Let's get your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a good game. Like I said, we all probably hit it that it's just we don't see a big lead for either team. It should be pretty fairly close. Honestly, the fact that we're even having the Super Bowl, I think we all knew that we would have a Super Bowl, but, the whole season was completed with, and obviously there was no games canceled that probably could have been, but regardless, like they got through the whole season, we got through the playoffs and we're having a Super Bowl. Like the season is going to have a conclusion. So I think that's something to be glad about. And it should be a good game. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs and we'll see how it goes. I hope, I wouldn't be mad if it turns to be a Chiefs blowout, but hey, we had a great run of Super Bowls there for a while. So if we end up getting a blowout, I mean, it is what it is. So nothing will ever match. Sorry, Andy, I know the Pats won, so you were happy about it. But that game 2 years ago with the Rams, I mean, that's literally going to be the worst Super Bowl I think I've ever watched in my life. So
yeah, that was bad. It was not.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as it's not that, I think we're good. Like literally the stupid, it was the next week, the Alliance of American Football started. The games were better than that in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was just an awful game.
It was. No, I don't think anyone would argue that. It was a tough game. Yeah. So certainly we clear that bar. We're going to be all right. I think I'll be happy for either team winning. And Ron brought up a good point about our friend Leo. I would be happy for him too if the Chiefs won as well. But you really can't lose as far as winning the game. So Andy, let's give it to you for the last word.
Yeah, I mean, there've been a lot of bad Super Bowls, like Ravens Giants comes to mind. That like the Giants got embarrassed. I remember growing up, those the Yacht Super Bowl versus Stan Humphries versus Steve Young, even though there was that last play because the line was so big, it was like the Chargers were 18.5-point underdogs. First Super Bowl I ever bet. I bet for like $5 or whatever. And San Francisco, they won by 26, but Stan Humphries, like, they threw like a Hail Mary at the end of the game, and Al Michaels being Al Michaels even like referenced it back then. So yeah, there's plenty of blowouts, and Rams Titans was really good back in, 99 or whatever. We've been blessed lately to have some good ones. Rams Pats notwithstanding the most recent one, but Eagles Pats was exciting. Then you've had some clunkers, Broncos Seahawks was a bore for most people that aren't Seahawks fans. So, we'll just see what happens this Sunday. Like we talked about right when this program started, I really wasn't like juiced up for the game. I had some, a couple of bets locked in, but that there's always, the 2 weeks between conference championship weekend and the Super Bowl takes a lot out of it. The radio hosts not being like, Mike probably wouldn't have been in Tampa anyway, but I don't think Mad Dog went to Tampa. There's no marquee. There's no Super Bowl contest with like the worst of the worst trying to get through talking to you. Yes, man. But, but yeah, no, there's just a lot less pomp and circumstance surrounding and leading up to this game. Kind of a good thing, I guess. But I'm looking forward to the game, looking forward to what Ron mentioned, like the board being like, who the hell is this weekend guy? Like, what's he doing on the stage? And then, we'll see if we get a entertaining back and forth game with some juice in the fourth quarter.
I think that's the best thing to root for here, right? It just, we just want a good game, and then whoever wins will win, and We think they will have earned it. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. And it is nice to have this because it's sort of a in such a difficult time that we're all going through. And I can speak to a lot of different angles on that. The Super Bowl is a good relief from the reality of the world. So it'll be nice to see it again. And to you guys, good luck to honor your bets as well. And we have a FanDuel, right? We have a FanDuel as well. Yeah, I think that there's a FanDuel for the Super Bowl. So good luck on that as well. And enjoy the game, guys. It's been fun. Have a good one, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
All right. Good luck, everyone.
Good. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, fellas. Take care. Good luck. And that's our program tonight. Pretty good stuff. I'm glad that we were able to get it all together one last time. And our football picks crew is a good crew. And it's a good lead-in to the Super Bowl as we get into all the scenarios that get us in the mood for the game come kickoff. And we'll have another round of that in our part two, which covers the prop bets for the game. Join us for that tomorrow. That will feature our friends Tom in Virginia and our friend Kevin on the Cape. We hope you've enjoyed this program tonight, though. I'm Dave Medina. Please, please, please subscribe to us if you haven't already. We're on Apple Podcasts, Dave in the City Out West. Join us there. If you're looking for us on Twitter, we're at DidCow on the Twitter. And on Facebook, too, facebook.com/DidCow. And once again, we hope you've enjoyed the Super Bowl, but be safe about it. And we will see you next time.